apps can do a lot of cool things. You could order dinner, gamble on your favorite team, and track your health. You could even get a mortgage. One click and you can be approved. I'm not sure by who or what country they're in. You deserve more from the mortgage industry. At AnnieMack Home Mortgage, we believe in the need for live human interaction during a very complex process. The kind of service and guidance which an app simply can't provide. Our customers are more than credit scores and income documents. They're individuals and families who live in and strengthen our communities. Their story is our story, and that story begins in a home. Chris Sawyer is an expert on providing superior customer service and in meeting the mortgage needs of current and future homebuyers. With over 18 years of experience in the industry, Chris is able to help customers migrate through the home buying and home financing process by using his wealth of knowledge as a well-qualified mortgage professional. And best of all, Chris is located in Cromwell, Connecticut, where he has helped hundreds of clients in Connecticut, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island make their dreams of homeownership a reality. Visit chrissawyer.annie-mac.com. Email him at csawyer@annie-mac.com or give him a call, 860-878-8730.
Chris Sawyer, NMLS number 39345, corporate NMLS number 338923, Annie Mac Home Mortgage and Equal Housing Lender, American Neighborhood Mortgage Acceptance Company, LLC, DBA, Annie Mac Home Mortgage, LoFi Direct, Connecticut First Mortgage Correspondent, License Lender, Broker Number, ML338923, Massachusetts Mortgage Lender and Mortgage Broker License Number, MC338923, Rhode Island License Lender, License Number 20112810L. Call for additional details.
Welcome to Sports Talk with RNJ. I'm Steve Risser along with Justin D'Onofrio, and we are here. It is the second weekend of March Madness, and there's really only one place to start for us, the team we've been talking about all year, and that's UConn. And the biggest question is going into the Sweet 16 with UConn is, with how dominant they were in the first two rounds, and they were dominant. They crushed Stenson, and they took their foot off the gas a little bit against Northwestern, but they won that game convincingly as well. The big question, though, for UConn is going into the Sweet 16 is how shocking would it be if UConn did not make the Final Four? I would say it would be shocking if they don't win tomorrow night. But if they don't make the Final Four, and I know they've been so dominant, a lot of people would say, I'd be shocked. I wouldn't be completely shocked because they're playing a really good team in the Elite Eight either way. And a team that won their conference, Illinois who won the Big Ten, Iowa State who won the Big 12. And they're both those teams are really, really good. So I'd be shocked if they don't win tomorrow night. And I know there's been a lot of this hype with UConn. A lot of people are saying, they could get the 8 seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs, which is absolutely ridiculous. But
that was crazy.
That was ridiculous. Making that statement. But you know, I think I would not be shocked. I'd be shocked if they don't win tomorrow night. I would not be shocked if they don't make the Final Four.
Yeah, I'd be surprised they don't win tomorrow. I wouldn't be as shocked because I think it's Iowa State or Illinois. They're probably about a 6-point favorite, you know, somewhere right around there, five to six points. So, yeah, you know, both those Illinois, Iowa State, they're contrast of styles. I know we'll get to them, but yeah, you know, it'd be surprising if they don't win tomorrow, especially because, like, you think about it for San Diego State, they played late Sunday night. I don't know if they went right to Boston or they went back to San Diego. Then you had to fly all the way back to Boston for an early tip Thursday. So for San Diego, you know, there's some fatigue factor there. I know Hurley was complaining about it, but, you know, for them, it's not bad. I know Hurley's right now grasping at anything to motivate and continue, you know, just be mad about. But yeah, I'd be surprised. Like a San Diego State team that's very one-dimensional, that doesn't have a lot of shooting, I'd be surprised. But because Illinois and Iowa State, yeah, because like Iowa State worries me because their defense, just how good they are. But and Illinois can put up a lot of points. But yeah, I'd be surprised they lose tomorrow. And like I was looking back at UNLV in Florida, UConn's won now 8 straight tournament games by like double digits. Those UNLV teams, the 1990-91 teams only did that like only, you know, 3 consecutive, you know, beating a team by 10, and same thing with Florida. So the way they've been beating teams in the tournaments, something, you know, we really haven't seen.
Yeah, and the thing is, yeah, it's been total domination by this UConn team the last two years in the NCAA tournament. And yes, you could say, you know, they got some breaks. Like last year, they didn't have to run into Kansas in the Sweet 16, or they didn't have to run into Texas in the Final Four. They've got to play San Diego State in the national championship game, but you got to play who's out in front of you. And yeah, If you look at what they've done, what UConn has done these last 2 years, they've been dominant. That's why a lot of people are thinking not only are they a shoo-in to win to get to the Final Four, they think they're a shoo-in to repeat as national champions. But we've watched this UConn team all year, and we've seen at times this team has struggled, especially on the road at Creighton, on the road at Seton Hall. And I know they're going to kind of be the home team in Boston, but it wouldn't be shocking for us if, you know, and Illinois did beat them, because Herron Shannon's one of the best players in college basketball. Or if an Iowa State beat them, because Iowa State blew Houston out in the Big 12 championship game. So, and we saw UConn at times during the Big East tournament struggle a little bit. You know, the championship game against Marquette. If Kolick plays, there's a very good chance Marquette wins the semifinal against St. John's. St. John's went toe-to-toe with them in the semifinals. So this UConn team, as a ton of people, you know, that don't watch them on a daily basis, think they're totally dominant and it's a foregone conclusion that they're going to win. I don't. I think it's going to still get really, really hard for this UConn team, especially those last three games, the Elite Eight, the Final Four, and the National Championship game.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, because Sunday against Northwestern, they were 3 for 25 at one point from three. Like, you have an off night against an Iowa State, you're going to get beat. You know, like, it's very possible. You do that against Houston, you're going to get beat. So, yeah, you know, if they shoot that poorly, we saw Creighton, like, you know, very possibly you could see Creighton again. Maybe they shoot 65% from three like they did in Omaha, and they knock you off that evening, you know. So, yeah, it is possible. And, you know, it doesn't, you know, the last team to go back-to-back was Florida in 07. The last number one overall seed to win the tournament was Louisville in 2013. It's been 11 years. Like, the best team sometimes, you know, it's tough to do. And it's kind of rare. We haven't seen in a while. And with all the 1-2 seeds still alive, it's tough. So, yeah, you know, this team at times is, you know, it hasn't been many times. But, yeah, there's, you know, like Sunday when they're not shooting well, they can be beatable at times. But, again, they shot, I think it was 26 for 32 from the 2-point range. Like, it's stuff like that, though. So, yeah, they're very tough. And I just think on a short, I think it helps that they get Illinois and Iowa State in the Elite Eight, because they're going to be so tough to game plan for on a short turnaround. You know, even though I thought Iowa State did a great game, because remember, they played them last year in the PK 80, 85. And Iowa State kept that game between 8 to 12 points. I thought TJ Osberger had, you know, they kept it as close as they could. You know, so I thought they had a pretty good game plan last year against them. But, yeah, we'll see. It's tough to do. But, like, Hurley is, like, it's kind of like Saban. Like, he got so mad about the way the sets in first half ended. Like, he's like Saban, where he wants absolute perfection. And he's never satisfied. And I think that helps.
It absolutely does. It absolutely does. And yeah, any recruits players that accept that, that you know, we want perfection here. We don't want to, you know, we're not going to have a bad half. We're not going to get sloppy. Even a game like Stenson, when they're up huge, where it was kind of an unwatchable game because they were up by so much. And I actually missed when he said that because my friends texted me that he said that because I was watching other games because they were winning by so much. So, that's what makes Hurley so great, is how he demands perfection. And everyone falls in line. That's why I think right now UConn is the best program in college basketball. That's why. And it's because of Dan Hurley.
Yeah, because right now with their staff, this staff has figured out the right formula for 2024. You know, like, you just saw what Kentucky did last week. And the all-freshman stuff doesn't work anymore. You got to have veteran guys. Like, they have a great mix of the veterans, you know, especially at the guard spots with, like, a Newton, Diarra, you know, Cam Spencer. And then you got your one and done, and it's in Stephon Castle. You got your Donovan McLean, that's going to be a lottery. Caravan's a sophomore, but he came early and redshirted. So, like, you could kind of consider him more of an upperclassman. So, yeah, you know, they've done a really good job of using the portal, bringing in freshmen, and kind of, you know, having hopefully the freshmen go along. You know, like, Jalen Stewart's really gotten better this year. So, yeah, they're definitely the best staff of kind of figuring out how to navigate 2024. And that's a huge bonus.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. So UConn UConn the Sweet 16. They'll take San Diego State, a rematch of last year's national championship game. Now, for me, I think the score might be, you know, as the score might be close to what the score was in the national championship game, but I don't think the game will be that close. Because last year, you remember, the national championship game was the toughest game they had in the entire tournament. San Diego State cut that lead to 5 points with 5 minutes to go. So it was a 5-point game with 5 minutes to go. It was that game, the score was not indicative of how that game was played. That was a five point game with 5 minutes to go. But I don't think San Diego State is as good this year. They don't have as much size this year. I know Ladee is a really, really good player, but really outside of that, they don't have anybody that's averaged over 10 points a game. And this is in here, basketball where you got to score. And I just don't think San Diego State has enough scoring. That's why I got UConn winning this game, and I got them covering the spread. I got them winning this game by double digits. I got UConn winning this game at double digits. I don't think San Diego State gets, and like last year, you know, they got within five, you know, with 5 minutes to go. I don't think they get within single digits. Late in the game. I don't think they will. I think UConn wins this game. I think it'll be close early. They'll struggle a little bit early on, but I think that UConn wins this. I think we'll win this by about 15 points. I'm going to go like 75-60. A similar score to last year, but I think the game's going to be played a little bit differently. I think UConn will be in control the entire way. I got UConn advancing to the Elite Eight for the second year in a row. I got UConn winning this one 75-60.
Yeah, I get UConn as well in this one. I got it 73-58. Yeah, Jaden Ladee, he's definitely their best player. He's 6'9", and he's a guy that's going to stretch you out, and he's more of a stretch four than a five. And, you know, that could be a problem if he's knocking down threes, because Kling is going to have to kind of guard him out there. And if San Diego State can get some guys to basket, you know, that could be kind of problematic if they get by the guards. But, yeah, the thing for San Diego State is what they're missing this year is you remember Matt Bradley from last year that could knock down threes. That's kind of what they're missing. They do have Reese Waters came in from USC. He's like a 35% three-point shooter. He hasn't been bad. But Davion Trammell is not shooting the ball well. Lamont Butler, he's been a little bit better, but not great. But he's only like a 30% three-point shooter, so you don't really have to, you know, really keep a close eye on him most times. But, yeah, and I just, you know, I think with the travel to San Diego State, it's going to be tough. Again, they're really one of the best defensive teams, so I think, you know, at times you could struggle offensively, but the thing is, I think they could really send, you know, if they could kind of slow down Ladee, you know, get him in foul trouble, Clean kind of take him inside and be able to post him up, hit some shots, you know, in the paint against him. I think it's going to be a tough day for San Diego State to guard him, but yeah, I think San Diego State's their defense will keep this thing close for a while, but I think UConn pulls away and end up winning about 15.
Yeah, and I think you got to look at the psychological fact, too. I think this UConn team is kind of in San Diego State's head from last year. I think so. I think they're kind of in their head. And I think the Hurleys are kind of in Dutcher's head. Because you remember back when Dutcher was the assistant at Michigan at the Fab Five. Oh, yeah. Guess who was the point guard of Duke? Yeah. Bobby Hurley. And then Danny Hurley beat him in the national championship game last year. So two of his national championship losses have been because of the Hurleys. So I think the Hurleys are kind of in Dutcher's head. I think that's going to play a factor, too. And I like Dutcher. Yeah, I think Dutcher's a good coach. Did a good job taking over for Fisher.
Yeah, he's done a really good job. That's a nice job down there, San Diego State. You know, Mountain West is a good league. I know in the tournament we've not had much success, but
I don't think they should have got six teams in, but well, that's another conversation for another day.
Especially the way they all flamed out there. But yeah, it's a good league. Dutcher's done a really nice job. And yeah, San Diego State's only been the Sweet 16 five times. They've had to face UConn in three of those. You know, the 11 team, too. We got them out there in Anaheim.
Yeah, with Kawhi, the best player probably in their program's history, Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, so it feels like maybe Dutcher and San Diego State kind of owe us one of these, you know, where they knock us off. But, yeah, hopefully that won't be – I don't think it'll be tomorrow night. But, yeah, the way it seemed, yeah, Dutcher, he's told a lot with the Hurleys. And, you know, probably a lot of late nights because trying to – find somebody to, you know, how to scout this team, because it is tough when you don't really see them a lot, but maybe a little bit because you saw them last year, it does help out a little bit.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there, but I think UConn wins this one comfortably and gets the Elite Eight. Now you move on to the second game in Boston tomorrow night, and that's Illinois and Iowa State. I think it's gonna be a great game. I think this game's gonna come right down the wire. You got one of the best players in college basketball and Terrence Shannon for Illinois, and then you got Gilbert and Lipsy, the two really good. Iowa State's got great guard play, and then you got Monchilovich, you know, who's a really good three-point shooter. I think the issue in this game, though, is going to come down to interior scoring, and it's going to be the difference in this game. I think Coleman Hawkins is going to be the difference. I think it's going to come down to interior scoring, and that's why I got Illinois winning a really, really close game and facing UConn Saturday in Boston.
I'm going to take Iowa State in this one. I like T.J. Osterberger and the Cyclones. For me in this one, now, I don't know. So we're actually KenPom Illinois, the number one offense in the country, or efficiency-wise, going up against Iowa State, the number one defense efficiency team. So we got a battle of contrast there. And I think for me, Iowa State could really turn you over. And I think they're going to be able to do that against Illinois. DeMats is a pretty good point guard. You know, they got Ty Rogers, but out there as well, but he can't knock down a shot. So you kind of lay off him a little bit and kind of go double like a DeMats. Because Jay Wright did one of Illinois' games back in December, or he was there, and he talked to Brad Underwood after the game, and he talked to Underwood. He's like, why don't you play booty ball with Marcus DeMats? Like what Villanova does with Colin Gillespie, Jalen Brunson, just go post up in the paint with and DeMats is 6'6". So he'll go post up. And if, you know, you try to double him, again, Illinois's got shooters. They got Terrence Stanton, and, you know, they got Quincy Greer. They got Coleman Hawkins. Like, they got guys that can knock down threes. So it's tough to double. But I think in this one, because Illinois defensively, I just don't love. And I think Iowa State's a little bit better offensively this year. So I don't see them going on a drought like what we've seen previously in the tournament against with them. So I think Iowa State does enough, and I think their defense is the big factor in why they win this basketball game.
Yeah, I think it'll be a close game either way. I just don't think Terrence Shannon's going to get beat. I don't think Iowa State has the inside game, and I just don't think they have a player as good. They have some good, really good players, but I don't think they have a good player as good as Terrence Shannon. I think he ultimately makes a difference for Illinois in this game. Now, I got Illinois, UConn. You got Iowa State, UConn. But I think it's pretty obvious who we have going to the Final Four. And it's UConn. I think for the second year in a row, I got UConn. Just like I predicted last week, UConn wins the East Region in Boston on Saturday night and gets to their second consecutive Final Four and their seventh Final Four in program history. Yes, you get a little confused because some people might say they're sick because they think they won the national championship every time. No, they did make a Final Four and then didn't get there when they lost to Michigan State in 2009 in the Final Four. So I think UConn makes their seventh Final Four in program history because I just think this team is just too good this year. I got UConn winning the East Region. Justin, I assume you got UConn winning, but will Iowa State, do you think Iowa State will give them a game on Saturday?
I think they do because I worry about Iowa State because they could blow up their offense, you know, like the way, you know, like what Kansas did early in the year for some of the games, Seton Hall. Like if you can kind of disrupt them up top and kind of get them out of rhythm offensively, which I think Iowa State could do, and I think they're a little bit better offensively this year than they were last year. And I mentioned it earlier, like Iowa State played them pretty well out of Portland last year when they played, you know, so I think Iowa State could. I think UConn would still end up winning. But yeah, I think UConn gets back there for the seventh Final Four. And yeah, that one team in 2009. And if Dyson doesn't blow out his knee, I think they have a very good shot of winning that one as well.
Very good chance of getting there. I don't think they're beating North. That would have been a great game. Would have been a classic. I think the
coach's boy.
Yeah, I think that would have been we didn't get a we would have gotten a classic. That would have been like a UConn Duke in 99. That would have been such a classic. But we had to get Michigan State and obviously Roy won. But that was the team. That was probably if Dyson was healthy, that was probably the team that would have beaten North Carolina that's the team that could have beaten North Carolina in 2009. But speaking of North Carolina, we will move to the West region. And one of North Carolina's best players the last couple of years, Caleb Love, now plays for Arizona. And the big question here is, and we asked it last week, are we going to get Caleb Love facing his former team in the Elite Eight? And I think there's a very good chance of it. I think it's a very good chance. Seeing the way seeing the way this tournament is going, there's a very good chance we're going to get that matchup on Saturday.
Yeah, right now it does. I did not think there was much of a chance last week. I thought this bracket was to be more. I thought this thing was to be more. You know, brackets are going to be more blown up than they were. Yeah, that's my brackets.
You had way too many upsets. This was not the year to pick upsets, and you had way too many. Now, let's be honest. Yeah, I picked Kentucky going to the Final Four. That was by far my worst pick. And then you texted me after that, like I warned you, and you warned me on the show last week. And they did not get the job done. But I mean, this is not the year to be picking upsets. That's for sure.
No, yeah, did not. Yeah, someone like me did that. That did not pan out well this year for me. But right now it looks pretty good. You know, we'll see. Clemson's playing well in Arizona. It's been going back since 97 every time they're in the tournament. They're usually one of the favorites, and they find a way to sub their toe. Could that happen to Clemson team that's playing pretty well? Very possible. And that UNC-Alabama game, that's going to be a very high variance type of game. because both teams love to get up and down. Both teams love to take a lot of threes. North Carolina, first time in, I think, forever, they actually play defense. Like, they actually guard. Like, under Roy, they never did. First couple years under Hubert Davis, they never guarded. So, North Carolina, their defense, they're playing pretty well. So, I think it's very possible if both teams don't stub their toes, which in March is very, very likely. Well, very possible, I mean.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And we'll get to these games with Clemson and Arizona. We'll start with Clemson and Arizona. And I think with this one, Clemson, here's the thing. I wouldn't be surprised they pull this upset because of the way they've played outside of the ACC. They've actually played really, really well outside of the ACC. They've only lost one game outside of the ACC. That was to Memphis. So Clemson, and they got size with PJ Hall. They got good guard play with Hunter and Gerard. So they got really good guard play. They got size. They got the team to do it. That's why it surprised me they didn't play that well in the ACC. But this team has played really, really well outside of the ACC. But Arizona being out west, I just think they win this game. I think they cover, but I think Arizona wins this game by like five. Like, I think they win it by single digits, but I think Arizona wins this game and they get to the Elite Eight. I think this would be the first time Arizona gets the Elite Eight. It'd be the first time since they had Derek Williams they played 15? UConn. Oh, yeah, they made it against Wisconsin. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
Wisconsin. When they played Wisconsin, you're right about that. Yeah, so when they played Wisconsin in 2015. So the first time since 2015 that Arizona gets there, and I do think they get to the Elite Eight, but Clemson's going to give them a game. I really like the way Clemson has played this year outside of the ACC. I'm just surprised because the ACC is not that good. Yeah. Not that good.
Yeah, same thing last year. They started out like 11-1, and then they fell apart in the ACC. I don't get it. And they were awful this year. I didn't even touch them in – because the ACC tournament, they beat Boston College, beat them by 20, you know, like, and for whatever reason, they've played a lot better since the tournament started. And yeah, you know, this should be a close one, and kind of, you know, for Clemson, PJ Hall, they need him to stay out of foul trouble because he can pull Omar Biallo away from the basket, which could help Clemson get to the basket, you know, can get layups. You know, Clemson needs their guards, Chase Hunter, Joseph Girard, to knock down threes. You know, which they've been doing the first two games. They've looked, you know, really good. They've been shooting the ball well. And for Arizona, you know, Jaden Bradley stepped up for him on Saturday. Caleb Love, I only think, hit one shot there in the second half. You know, Boswell didn't have a great game either until I think later in that game he started to kind of play a little bit better. But for Clemson, too, can you get Arizona in the half court? Because you kind of saw Dayton start to be able to do that a little bit. And Arizona's half-court offense is not – they want to play in transition. They want to get some odd kind of odd man opportunities. Like, if you get them to play 5-on-5 in the half-court, that's kind of where you have a better chance to beat them. And if Clemson can do that in the final, like, 5-6 minutes of that game, I think Clemson would be able to pull off the upset. But I do think Arizona's got more talent with Boswell, with Caleb Love, with Balo. I do think they find a way to hold on to this one. And I do think Arizona moves on to the Elite Eight.
Yeah, Arizona clearly has more talent. And where do they play in the West region?
LA.
LA. Oh, so they'll definitely have the home court advantage playing in LA. So yeah, I think Clemson gives them a game, but I think Arizona ultimately pulls this one out. But we'll move on to the North Carolina-Alabama game. Alabama back in the Sweet 16 after losing Brandon Miller. North Carolina back in the tournament this year because of the way RJ Davis has played. And I think this is gonna be another really, really close game between these two teams. But I'm going to take Carolina. I think they got one of the best players in the country in R.J. Davis. I think Alabama gives them a game, though, and they score with them. Marcus Sears still has had a great year for them. I think the size is going to be the difference. The size of North Carolina with Baycott is going to be the difference. And I think UNC wins this one by single digits. And I think they get to the Sweet 16 where they play Caleb Love and Arizona.
Yeah, I'm with you. I got North Carolina as well in this one. You know, Mark Sears for the Crimson Tide has been playing really well. They really could have lost to Grand Canyon there Sunday night. That was one of the more chaotic basketball games I've ever seen. Just really, really wild game. But, you know, Sears has been playing pretty well. I just don't trust Alabama. They give up 80 points a game. I just – defensively, they're not existent. And, you know, I feel like in this one against a North Carolina team, as you mentioned, RJ Davis has been so good. You know, I think he could have a really good game. You know, Cormac Ryan knocks down some shots. Harrison Ingram, you know, Baycott down low against a Grant Nelson, I think could be a mismatch because he's not a great defender. And he's kind of struggled playing some of these, you know, he kind of struggled in SEC play because he's a transfer coming in from North Dakota State. So I think North Carolina, just because of their defense, kind of wins this one. But I wouldn't be shocked if Alabama shoots 50-55% from three. They could, you know, they could definitely knock them off. I have a hard time seeing it in this one. So I got North Carolina, Eli Cadeau, their point guard, Davis. I think they do enough in this one, and I think they knock off the Crimson Tide.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a fun region, because you got four really good teams. You got four really good teams in this region, so it should be a really, really fun region. There should be two really good games tomorrow night. And then we go to the final on Saturday. Who do you got winning it between Caleb Love's current team and his former team? Who do you got winning? It's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be a great game. It comes right down to the end. But I think two things are the difference. I think Arizona has a little bit more consistent scoring. I know they don't have a player as good as R.J. Davis, but I think they got a little more consistent scoring. And I think that home crowd they're going to have in L.A. is going to help them a little bit. And that's why I got Arizona getting to their first Final Four since Luke Walton and Lou Olson in 2001 when they lost to Duke. Their first Final Four appearance in 23 years since Luke Walton played for the Arizona and Richard Jefferson too. Luke Walton and Richard Jefferson played for Arizona in 01. I think it's the first Final Four they get to since then. And that's why they're going to be going home too. Arizona will be going home. So yes, as a UConn fan, I'm definitely rooting for North Carolina, because I don't want to be facing, I know UConn's great, but I don't want to face, it's going to be like them facing Michigan State in 09 in Detroit. I don't want them facing Arizona in Glendale, because they get through this. I actually think they got a really good chance to win the thing. So I got Arizona beating North Carolina and getting to the Final Four.
I'm going with the Tar Heels. I've been scarred way too much with Arizona. This used to be my favorite pick every year in my brackets growing up. It's always Arizona. They've scarred me so many times. I can't trust them. And I really like this North Carolina team. And Arizona is going to be a favorite in this game over North Carolina because of all the analytical numbers. They're probably going to be a favorite probably in LA too, going to have the home court a little bit edge. But I think, again, North Carolina, I think it's their defense makes it different in this one. They didn't play great the first 10, 12 minutes of Michigan State, and then they really turned it on and they blasted them. And, you know, I just think RJ Davis out there, he's been so good this year, and I think he makes a difference. And, you know, under Tommy Louie, there's just that one game in the tournament where they just really struggle and in a game they really shouldn't lose, even though North Carolina game would be obviously would be kind of a coin flip type game. But I think Baycott versus Balo down low is going to be huge. And, you know, that's going to be a really fun matchup. But, that you know, they might neutralize each other. But I'm going to take North Carolina. I'm going to trust the supporting cast of Cormac Ryan and Harrison Ingram and Baycott down low to be the difference against the Cats.
And the thing is you're taking Hubert Davis to get to his second Final Four in 3 years after we hammered him all year last year. He's won a little bit more of my respect. I liked how he went after his players there when they got that slow start against Michigan State.
That showed me a lot, because last year in February he was we just had an airing of the grievances in February. It's like might be a little bit too late for that, Hubert. You know, that may have been something that should have happened in December. But yeah, he's done a really nice job this year. You know, still not. You know, I think you know thing is also you know some work, but yeah, going after the guys I think was huge. You know, for me to kind of see him grow, and I think he's done a better job this year. You know, we'll kind of see how it goes, you know, throughout. But yeah, he's done a really nice job. Been big year because he was definitely in the hot seat. He you know, things didn't go right this year. He was definitely good. You know, they're definitely looking elsewhere.
Absolutely, 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 absolutely. So we will move to the South region, and there's a couple things you know to talk about before we talk about you know the games in the South region. And I think the first one is this NC State team. This NC State team, and are they a team of destiny? All right, you go back to 83. You go back to that, you know, Jim Valvano run. And it's amazing when you watch the documentary Surviving Advance, how close they were to like losing every single game they played from like the ACC tournament on, how close they were to like losing all these games. It was crazy. I feel this is a little bit. I mean, Bob Valvano said it on the broadcast for the ACC championship game when he was doing the radio broadcast, saying that this is like eerily similar to 1983, and just eerily similar to 1983, and you're seeing some similarities. Like in the ACC tournament, they beat Virginia at the. It was kind of flipped because they beat North Carolina in the semis in 83 and Virginia in the final. So it was kind of flipped. They beat Virginia in the semi and then Carolina in the final. But like you had that buzzer beater against Virginia. Then you get them beating North Carolina. Then getting into the tournament, and then they handled Texas Tech pretty. They were able to handle Texas Tech, but the game on Saturday night against Oakland was crazy. Oakland. It went to overtime. So they kind of survived that one against Oakland. So. Right now, is NC State a team of destiny? Are they a team of destiny? Being the 11th seed, barely getting into the tournament, now being in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, you know, they definitely seem like it. ACC tournament, they 5 days, 5 games in 5 days. They won it, you know, UConn's not the only one that's done that now. And yeah, like their point guard play, like Michael O'Connell, is kind of just very steady. They don't turn the ball over. Like they're really good handling the basketball. DJ Burns has kind of turned into America's darling, you know, like
that old school power forward, like Charles Barkley. Yeah. That's what I feel like he is. That old school, he'll just shoot threes and they have a center with Diarra, but he's like that old school power forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He's just a big body's in a back. You win, you know, that would be a fun matchup. How does Marquette kind of, you know, contain him? Yeah. They got Diarra down low. Like, yeah, this is a fun team that DJ Horn could really shoot the basketball. So yeah, you know, Kevin Keats was gone. If they and this team was tied 75-75 in Louisville in the first day of the season.
Kind of similar to that 83 run when they were barely beating Wake Forest.
Yeah. Yeah. So it does really a lot of similarities to that and Jimmy Valvano, which did you know he's a UConn assistant? 1970 to 1972. He's on the UConn staff.
Wow. Was that before Rutgers?
I found that out recently.
Was that before Rutgers or after Rutgers?
Yeah, I think it was before Rutgers. Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, I found that out recently. So, yeah, it really feels like it. And Marquette's a team, you know, they got over the hump, but, you know, could they do it, you know? But, you know, Marquette shot the ball really well. They let Kyle back in that game, and they held on. So, like, it wouldn't shock me the way this team's playing because, you know, Keats was gone, and now, you know, he's going to be gone after a loss to head coach. But, yeah, now he's got the 2-year extension, and things are well. And again, you just, you know, now you just kind of play, you know, there's no pressure on you. You just go out and just go play. And NC State's been doing a great job of that. So they totally are. And wouldn't be surprised to see them knock off Marquette.
Yeah. And we'll get to that game against Marquette. And I don't think they're a team of destiny. I think it ends on Friday night. I do because I think Marquette's the best team in this region. I think Tyler Colick, the way he's been playing, he's been playing really well. I was worried about going into the tournament, but Tyler Colick has played really well. Cam Jones is really good as well. You got Iguodara inside. I just don't think outside of Horn and Burns, NC State has enough scoring, and that's why I think they lose in the Sweet. Their season ends Friday night. I think that they don't have enough scoring, and that's why I'm taking Marquette here. I'm taking Marquette to get to their first Elite Eight since that 2013 season when they had that ugly game against Syracuse. I remember that game when they scored 39 points. But I think Marquette gets to the Elite Eight. I think that Tyler Colick has a big game. I think that Cam Jones is a big game. I think they win this one by double digits. I think NC State season ends Friday night. I got Marquette going to the Elite Eight.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think NC State goes down. You know, Marquette did not look pretty there on Friday against Western Kentucky. That kind of looked that looked very dicey there for the first about 25-30 minutes, and then Western Kentucky finally started missing some shots and they were able to pull away in that one. But yeah, you know, NC State, you mentioned it, they don't have a ton of scoring outside of Horn and Burns, and you know, like they need somebody like Ben Middlebrooks. You got 21 against Texas Tech, you had 12, I think, in the Virginia game. Like they need him to kind of get a couple buckets in this one. You know, and then, you know, Casey Morrell, they got to get him going. Like, they got to have some of those other guys step up, hit knockdown shots. And Marquette, because they're going to try to force you to turn the basketball over, you know, with that 3-4 quarter press. And then, you know, do they go zone off of that? Like, but can O'Connell, who's very good at not turning the ball over, their other point, you know, could they contain the basketball? And again, you know, Burns with their size and Diarra, can they out can they out-rebound Marquette on the glass, which I think is very possible. And we've kind of seen UConn be able to take advantage of that against Marquette. So if they can do those types of things, I wouldn't be shocked if they knock off Marquette. But I do think they got more Marquette's got a bit more talent. And you mentioned Cam Jones, the way he's playing. Him and Caravan being left off the Big East all-conference teams was a miss there, you know. So it's especially the way those two have played all year, especially Jones. So I do think Marquette gets over the hump and gets to the Elite Eight.
All righty, so we will get to the second game. And the big question going in to the Sweet 16 does this last week change your opinion of Duke? Does last weekend, the way Duke played, especially against James Madison, does that change your opinion of Duke? Because the way that we shot the ball, getting 14 threes against James Madison in that second round game, the way McCain shot the ball, the way that Proctor shot the ball, the way they shot the ball against Marquette, you know what I mean? Against James Madison. Do you have is there a different opinion of Duke? Does your opinion change of Duke going into the Sweet 16? And that does for me. I think they're going to give Houston a game. And I think they have a really good chance to beat Houston. I've never been the biggest Houston fan all season long. They could have very easily lost to Texas A&M. I don't think Houston has a consistent inside game. And if their guards don't play well, Houston, I think they could be in big trouble against Duke. So I do think this week kind of changes. Because I thought Duke, no way they were going to make a run. Because I just didn't like Duke all year, losing to Carolina twice, getting bounced in the quarterfinals of the ACC tournament. But I tell you, this last weekend, I know they played two mid-majors, but Sunday really got me to start really thinking this Duke team could make a run.
Yeah, for me, it's changed a little bit because they just played the perfect game on Sunday. Can you recap that? You know, can you do that? Can you redo that all on Friday night against Houston? Now, maybe I'll say that. I'll say my this point. Well, I'll say not too. It comes down because I could see them winning Friday. It depends on how the game's called. If, like, Texas A&M went to the free throw line 45 times on Sunday, if Duke gets that on Sunday, Duke's winning that game. It all depends on how the game gets called because for Duke, how do they match Houston's physicality? Because they did not get to North Carolina. We really haven't seen them do it all year. You know, so that's the big thing for me. How do they match the physicality? But it changed a little bit, but like James Madison, like their best guy, Terrence Edwards, got second foul very early, 90 seconds in the game, and that was it. And you just knew it was over, and Duke didn't miss. So it changed a little bit. I wouldn't be shocked to knock off Houston. Like if they get by Houston, yeah, they're going to the Final Four. But could they beat Houston? Yes. It just all depends on how the game's called.
Because I think the fouls definitely affected the way that game, because you saw Houston give up 86 points. You never see Houston give up 86 points, but luckily for them, all the guards were outstanding. Shedded that big shot at the end. Crier was good. Sharp was great. So their guard play was really good. So that was the reason why they were able to advance. So but I do think Duke, I mean, if Filipowski's the difference, if Filipowski can play well, I think Duke could very, very easily beat Houston. And we'll get to the game. We'll get to the game, Duke and Houston. And I think this is a really close game. I think it's a really, really close game between these two teams. I think it comes right down to the end. But I think the difference is I like Calvin Sampson better than Calvin Sampson is a lot more experienced than John Shire. I think Houston's guard play is a little bit better. And Houston has that. They're playing in Dallas, right?
Yeah, Dallas, yep.
And, you know, I know Duke. There's a lot of Duke fans all over the place, but I think Houston might have a little bit of that home court advantage playing in Dallas. So I'm going to go with Houston really, really, really close here over Duke.
Yeah, for me, if the game is – if the refs let them play, I think Houston wins. If the refs do not let them play, Duke wins this game. You know, so per se, because I do have to pick one side, I'll take Houston. But I'm not very confident. But you know, for me, yeah, it's Duke could hit. They cannot. Can they hit shots over the top of Houston? I know Roach got banged up there on Sunday, but like McCann's been all, you know, going off. You mentioned Tyrese Proctor. Like if those guys can knock down their threes, it's going to be very tough for Houston to win. And you know, inside for Houston, you know, Roberts has been banged up. Francis has been kind of has trouble staying out of foul trouble. So if Duke kind of get them in foul trouble early, yeah, then they're going to knock down the three throw, something that A&M could not do. And Houston this year, they've blown like 4 or 5 14-point leads or more this year. Like Houston's, you know, I don't know what it is. If it's, you know, they are, well, you know what it is. They go kind of little slumps at times offensively, you know, and Crier's kind of changed that at times. But, you know, but if he's got an off night too, they kind of struggle so offensively at times. And, You know, Houston's down at least three kind of core guys off the bench or rotation guys. So for Houston, it's kind of, can they stay out of foul trouble and make it tough and be able to knock down enough shots? Because if they do, I do think they knock off Duke. But if not, I would not be at all surprised to see Duke move on to the Elite Eight.
Yes, and we will get to the Elite Eight matchup. And we both have Houston taking on Marquette on Sunday, on Easter Sunday. And I think this is going to be a close competitive game between both these teams. I think it's going to be really, really close and competitive. But I think the difference in this game is going to be is the inside game of Marquette. I think Marquette is more of an inside. I've been on this all year about Houston. I just don't think they have enough interior scoring to get to a Final Four. And I think it's going to catch up to them in this game against Marquette. That's why I like Marquette to get. I think they win a close one on Easter Sunday. But I like Marquette to get to their first Final Four beating Houston. So I picked Kentucky to win this region. I shouldn't have. I should have picked Marquette. But I got Marquette getting to their first Final Four since Dwayne Wade in 2003.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Marquette as well. I worry about Houston being banged off, you know, with all these kind of injuries. And I think Kolick plays well. If you notice, too, Kolick does not like to go right. Like, if either NC State or Houston can make him go right, because all their offensive stuff is kind of the left side. Like, they can kind of, you know, make him go right, yeah, it'd be a little bit more difficult. But I think Joplin Jones, I think those kind of guys around Kolick do enough to help him out. And I think they put up, you know, double-digit scoring efforts. And I think Marquette finds a way to move on here. And I think they, finally get back their first time in 21 years. And for Shaka to get back there the first time in 13 years, it's kind of – this was their year. Like, this was the year for them to get there. And I think they do get there. Friday looked like, man, they didn't have much legs left. But they figured it out in the second half. And – you know, they're still rolling, and I think they find a way to get out of Dallas, going to Phoenix.
Yeah, I think so too. So we'll wrap up talking about the Midwest region in Detroit. And the big question going into this region is should Purdue be the heavy favorite to get to the Final Four? I'm not going to say the heavy favorite because, I like the two teams. I really think they could play two really good teams if they get to the Elite Eight, Creighton or Tennessee. But I do, again, I would be surprised if they lose to Gonzaga. I know you like Gonzaga, but I'd be surprised if they lose to Gonzaga because Gonzaga, yes, I made a mistake taking, I shouldn't have taken McKinney State. I shouldn't take, you know, Will Wade's team. I shouldn't have taken them to beat Gonzaga. I shouldn't have taken that. But I know Gonzaga was very impressive against Kansas. I get it. And I know they're in their ninth straight Sweet 16. I think Mark Few's done a great job. But I just don't think this Gonzaga team is as good as last year. And I never trust Gonzaga in big games. You saw last year against UConn. You've seen them in these national title games. I don't trust Gonzaga in big spots. And I think Purdue wins it by double digits. I think this is the best Purdue team that Matt Painter's ever had. They blew out Utah State. I think they beat Gonzaga by double digits. So I don't think they should be the heavy favorite. But again, just like UConn, I know Purdue has struggled against team. I know that historically Purdue has really struggled. Matt Painter has struggled in the tournament, but I would not be surprised. I would be pretty surprised if they don't get to the Elite Eight.
Yeah, this team does. It looks a lot different than the last couple of years. Like, it really looks like a team that's kind of, you know, that's going to get over the hump this year. Like, it, you know, the way they're playing, they, you know, kind of throw there a little bit with Grambling. But, yeah, Utah State, that was a bad matchup. The four-guard lineup, just that was – Utah State had no chance in that game. You know, but for them, it's, you know, how do officials call games against Edie? You know, like, Purdue kind of complains a lot, and I don't understand why, because Edie gets away with a lot, I think, at times. And, again, he's an unbelievable player. He's a generational player. The guy's going back-to-back play of the years, and the last guy that done that is Ralph Sampson. Like, The guy is talented. You know, maybe he won't turn into an unbelievable pro, but he's a great college player. But, yeah, there's a ton of pressure on Houston. There's more pressure on them than any other team in the country to get to the Final Four. And, you know, right now it looks like they're handling it well. But we've seen it. You know, like St. Peter's, a 15 knocked them off. So, in a Sweet 16. So, there's a ton of pressure for them to get there. Well, they look good handling it so far. And you got two teams, Creighton and Tennessee. Two coaches that haven't been able to go over the hump either the last, you know, handful of years. So, yeah, it's kind of seems like the region. And they're playing in Detroit. I think it's an hour and a half from West Lafayette. So it's going to be a heavy Purdue fan crowd as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me tell you, North Carolina's got to be so upset. Because you look at UConn, they're playing in Boston. Houston, they're playing in Dallas. Purdue, they're playing in Detroit. North Carolina's got to go to all the way to Los. But that's what you get for being the fourth number one seed. You get the top three number one seed. That's why these games matter in the regular season, because you know that's what happens. In North Carolina getting that fourth number one seed. Now they got to go play Arizona out west. So they definitely don't have the best chance to get the Final Four of the other three teams. But yeah, I think that Purdue, if we talk about this game with Gonzaga, I think they win. The same thing is win this by double digits, because I said I don't think Gonzaga's that good. I really don't think Gonzaga's that. I know they're good, but I just don't think it's one of Mark Few's best teams. This isn't his 2021 team when he had Drew Timmy and Jalen Suggs, and they got blown out in the national championship game. And that just proves to you, I don't trust Gonzaga in big games. I saw it last year against UConn. They got beat by almost 30 points. So I'm going Purdue here, and I'm going Purdue by double digits. They'll have the home crowd. I got Purdue getting to the Elite Eight. And I can't remember the last time Purdue's been to the – I know they were in the Sweet 16 5 years ago with Carson Edwards against Virginia. But I can't remember the last time Purdue's even been to the Elite Eight. So I got Purdue – but I do have Purdue getting to the Elite Eight this year, because this team is just too good.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Because they made the Final Four Purdue in 1980. I don't know. It might be the last time. I don't remember them being there. Yeah. I have to look that up. But for me, I can't go with chalk. So I'm going Gonzaga here. Purdue's been good. And I know you're
going Gonzaga over this Purdue team. This Gonzaga team, I know they beat Kansas, but Kansas is Chibosoff was checked out. Kansas should have probably lost to Stanford.
That year. But for me, you don't trust Gonzaga. I don't trust Matt Painter still. I just don't. I've seen this team with a good point guard
and Braden Smith. You got the best player in the country and Zach Edey. Come on now. This is Gonzaga. I get if you don't trust him in the Elite Eight, but this is Gonzaga. This is not a great Gonzaga team.
It's not a great Gonzaga team. But I like the way they're playing. Yes, they beat up a bad McNeese and a Kansas team that had nobody left. But for me, I just think that, Nembhard's, I think he's been playing pretty well. If they can knock down shots, they got to hit threes in this one. You know, Noel Hickman, he played pretty well over the weekend as well. Watson, Graham EK. And that the thing is with the big man matchup, like Graham EK versus Zach Edey, in the Maui, when Purdue beat him by 10, both guys had four fouls in that game. You know, who could kind of stay out of the foul trouble? Grim EK likes that floater inside like the 5 to 8 foot range. Going up against Edey, that's gonna be tough to hit those. How do they game plan against that? But I think Gonzaga, I think they knocked down more threes in this one. Smith and Lawyer, they just never seem for most of the time that they're both on at the same time. And I think Gonzaga hit some shots. I think they do a nice job of kind of containing Zach Edey the best you can. And I'm going to take Mark Few. The guy's done it. I know he's not gone over the hump in the championship game, but what he's done here at Gonzaga has been impressive. And I think second time they're going to see him, I think they schemed something up. And I'm going to take the Gonzaga Bulldogs to knock off Purdue here on a Friday night.
Wow. You got Purdue losing another Sweet 16. Wow, that's crazy. I don't think that's happening. I got Purdue winning this by double digits over Gonzaga. But we'll see who either team plays, and that would be Creighton or Tennessee. And I think this is going to be a great game between these two teams. I think it's going to be a great game. You got really good guard play with Shireman, Alexander on one side. You got Dalton Connect on the other side with Ziegler. Really good guard play. I think it's close and it comes down to the end, but I think Dalton Connect's going to be the difference. That's why Tennessee wins a close one and gets the Elite Eight.
Yeah. For me, I got Creighton. I mean, I got Tennessee in this one. I just think the physicality of Tennessee is going to be too much for Creighton. They don't love the physicality. We saw it up in Stewart against UConn. We saw it in that Nova game. The last game of the year, kind of regular season. I know, Nova got back to such a bad start, but they got back into the game because they played physical with them. And I don't trust either of these, it's tough to, to believe in either of these two teams away, kind of some, especially in Tennessee, but Connect just had such a bad game on Saturday. They found a way to win the basketball game because Texas couldn't hit a shot either. So I think Dalton Connect does play better. And for Creighton, like, if the shots are falling, they're going to beat you. If not, you're good. You know, it's going to be tough for them to lose. It's going to be tough for them to win. So, you know, Culkbury, it's Joseph Abdiu, the Tennessee's big guy. That's going to be a fun matchup inside the watch. But I'm going to take Tennessee. I think Connect just, you know, plays a little better than Ashworth and Shireman, and they find a way, and the Vols win. And I did look up that Purdue team in 19 when they played Virginia. That was an Elite Eight game. I was with you. I thought that was Sweet 16.
Oh, they yeah. I forget that is. That was an Elite Eight game. Yeah.
I forgot,
it was an Elite Eight game. So they get there. Yeah. They did get there. That was a great game, too. That was a crazy game. That was a great game.
Yeah, OT, Netflix, yeah.
That was a great game with Virginia. That was a great game. But yeah, I think that Tennessee pulls it out because of Connect. I think just Connect has just been great this year, and he's going to be great on Friday night. And I think he gets Tennessee to the Elite Eight. But now on Easter Sunday, we have different Elite Eights. I have Tennessee against Purdue. You have Tennessee against Gonzaga. And I think that Purdue wins this. I think Purdue finally gets to it. Now, the quick question is, when's the last time I've been to a Final Four? I think that's been 1980. Because I don't think Gene Cady didn't ever get to a Final Four.
Yeah, so 1980.
I think 1980 was the last time Purdue got to a Final Four. So I do think Purdue gets to the Final Four for the first time in, that'd be like 44 years. Be the first 45, time.
Yeah,
44 years, the first time Purdue would get to a Final Four. Yeah. So, and they've never had a player like Zach Edey. So I think that Purdue wins this. I think it's a close, competitive game. I think that Tennessee gives them a fight, but I think Edey's going to be too much in the end. That's why I got Purdue winning the Midwest region in Detroit and getting to the Final Four.
I'm going to take Rick Barnes of the Vols. Dalton Connect, I think, plays. I think he has another phenomenal game against Gonzaga. And I don't think they played in Maui. They did not play Maui. I know, like, Purdue played Tennessee and Maui. Like, this is kind of the Maui bracket, you know. Bunch of Maui teams are in this one. Kansas as well, so before they got eliminated. So, you know, I think Connector is going to be the best player on the floor that evening, and I think he does enough. I think it's going to be a physical game, and I think Connector just knocks down a couple more shots than Hickman or Nembhard, and I think that's the difference. And I think Rick Barnes gets back there the first time in what year he go there? '03.
Oh, 21
years for Rick Barnes.
So same thing. So. Him and Marquette, 23 years. Yeah. They were at that same year when it was Syracuse, Kansas, Marquette, Texas. Because Kansas crushed Marquette, and then Syracuse beat Texas, and Syracuse won the national title with Carmelo. He won the national title that year.
Yeah, Rick Barnes was on there. Could have shut out Bayheim.
I know. Neither could Roy. And then Roy bolts after that. Then Roy, after he went after Bonnie Bernstein, he bolts after that and goes to North Carolina.
Yep. I forgot about that. Yeah, I forgot. Then he did the Matt Doherty stuff. Yeah, that downfall in North Carolina. Yeah. Yeah, didn't he say, I'm not going back to North Carolina? Yeah.
After when he was getting interviewed after the game, he's like, I could give a bleep about Carolina right now. I got 13 guys in the locker room I love. And they liked him in Kansas for saying that but then he ended up saying, I'm taking the Carolina job and winning three national titles, and the rest is history, because he had never won at Kansas. So the rest was history. Ended up winning three national titles. But it'd be the first time that Marquette would get to the Final Four since 2003, and the first time Texas would get to the Final Four since 2003. So
Tennessee,
so
Rick Barnes, yeah.
Rick Barnes. Yeah, I mean, Rick Barnes getting to the Final Four. So we look at our Final Fours. I pretty much have it pretty much the same as I had it, you know, when my bracket came out. I got obviously UConn, Purdue. I got
Tennessee, Marquette, and
Arizona. So it's pretty much the same with Arizona, UConn, and Purdue, and then Marquette, which I should have had Marquette because I should have had them over Kentucky. But I got UConn, Purdue, Arizona, and Marquette in my Final Four.
Yeah, so I got UConn, North Carolina, Gonzaga, Tennessee, Marquette. And mine, so mine's a lot different than last week. I think St. Mary's last week. I think
it was St. Mary's week and Gonzaga. You bailed on Gonzaga.
I did. Don't connect. I think, you know, he just played so bad Saturday. I'm like, I can't imagine he plays as bad as he did Saturday night these next two games. And so I think he'll play better. Then I had Creighton. No, Marquette. Yeah, so I get two. Yeah, because I had two Big East and the two West Coast schools. Kind of went all basketball schools.
Exactly. Yeah, they talk about how bad the Big East is, but it looks like they're getting two. For me, I think they're getting two teams in the Final Four. So the committee did not do a good job at the Big East there. Or Indiana State, who's this close to winning.
I told you about them.
I know. They're this close. They're going to Hinkle Fieldhouse, too. You know there was motivation. Yeah, I knew Indiana State would have that one seed they would get there. So they'll be playing at Hinkle Fieldhouse. So we'll see what happens there. But it should be a great, great second weekend of March Madness. It all starts tomorrow night with the East region and the West region. So it should be a great weekend of basketball. But this isn't the only thing that's happening tomorrow, as we got opening day tomorrow. But that'll be in our show next, and that'll be starting in about 10 minutes. So we got opening day tomorrow, and we will be talking about it. So make sure you tune in for that in 10 minutes.
Hello, my name is Joe Aguirre. I'm the president of Clovercrest Media Group. And here at CMG, we have a wide variety of podcasts, including sports shows like Keys to the City, The Roll Call, Throwing Jabs, All Four Downs, and Jawing About the G-Men. And great true crime shows like Sticky Meek, Crimes and Consequences, Ivy League Murders, and Bird, The Unsolved Murder of David Eichmann. You can find all these podcasts and so much more by visiting clovercrestmedia.com.